but explore this practice of imaginative prayer. I think that imagination is one of the greatest gifts that God has given us. And it has, in fact, been one of the ways that I have been able to develop my relationship with Jesus over the years. And we don't exercise our imaginations enough. So I'm going to lead you through a guided meditation today through the gospel story based on the feeding of 5,000 that we find in the Gospel of Mark. You may want to listen to this with your eyes closed and just take in the story. Pay attention to what is going on as you hear the scripture today, particularly the feeding of the crowd. It's not a story about the facts. We don't want to worry about the facts, how many were there, what they were doing, how they were seated. We don't want to worry about whether it could have happened or not. We want to get into this story, immerse ourselves in this story. Take this story out of the pages of the Bible and bring it home into our hearts and souls. So I pray that you may encounter Christ today. I've asked Richard if he would read the gospel story for us this morning in a different voice than mine. So listen to this scripture from Mark 6.
The disciples gathered around Jesus and told him all the things they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no time to even eat, so that they went away in a boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many from all the towns saw them going and recognized them, so they hurried on foot ahead of Jesus and arrived before him. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. He began to teach them many things. When it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now very late. Send them away so they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy something for themselves to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "Are we to go and buy hundreds of dollars worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" He said to them, "How many loaves have you? Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he ordered them to get all the people to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all, and all ate and were filled. And he took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. Those who had eaten the loaves numbered 5,000.
I invite you to remain with your eyes closed. Settle comfortably in your seat. Take a few deep breaths and still your mind as best you can. Invite the Holy Spirit to guide your imagination. Let that scene where the crowd is gathered around Jesus take shape in your mind's eye. The disciples are sitting beside Jesus on the hillside. You are beside the lake. There is a large crowd of people around Jesus and the disciples. Men, women, children, and babies. Let your imagination take in the scene. The people milling about you, the color of the sky, the clothes the people are wearing, the earth, the grass. You are one of the people standing there in the crowd. What are you wearing? Who is with you? How do you feel as you experience it for yourself? Notice the Sea of Galilee as you take in all the sights. See the beauty. Smell the air. Listen to the sounds. And feel the warm breeze on your skin and the ground under your feet. Bathe in the atmosphere and let it become very real to you. Jesus has just finished teaching and healing. He is resting with his disciples. They have been working hard, attending to people's needs, and they are taking a little break. You sit down to observe everything that is going on. The crowd is chattering. It's getting late, and the people are hungry. So you listen, just for a bit. What are people saying? What are you thinking? What are you hearing and observing? What would you like from Jesus? You notice that the disciples are now speaking to Jesus. You can't hear what they're saying, but a few of them are getting noticeably anxious, and one speaks quite sharply to Jesus. How does he respond? What is his demeanor? You notice one of the disciples get up and go to a group of people nearby to speak to them. Someone in the group, perhaps a young boy, you think, you can't quite see, hands him a small leather pouch, and he carries it back to Jesus. Jesus opens the pouch and pulls out 5 small loaves of bread and 2 small fish. Look at the huge crowd. And look at what Jesus is holding, the small loaves and the 2 fish. What do you think he's going to do next? Jesus calls out to the crowd to be seated and gather themselves together in groups. You move to join a group, some of them you know as neighbors and friends. When everyone is settled, Jesus takes the loaves and the fish and blesses them. Can you hear what he says? What does he do after that? Then it seems like out of nowhere you notice baskets of bread and fish being passed around. And what is the atmosphere in the crowd? Are people talking? Or are they silent? Are they laughing with delight or surprise? Or are they gaping in wonder? Are they frowning with puzzlement? What do people do when the basket comes to them? What do you do when the basket comes to you. Take out of the basket what you need. The bread is in your hands. Touch it, feel it, smell it, and then taste it. How do you feel? What do you think? After you have eaten, the baskets are once again passed around and people put in their leftovers. A lot of food is gathered. What is the mood of the crowd now? What are you feeling? The baskets are all gathered around Jesus, and it's getting late. The sun is starting to set. People slowly get up and start to wander off toward home. You get up. But instead of heading directly toward home, you go toward Jesus and his small group of disciples. And Jesus stands up and comes toward you too. What do you say to him? Ask of him. Go ahead and speak to him and listen for his response. What does he say or do? You have these few moments alone with Jesus. Reluctantly, the conversation concludes and you turn toward home. But wait, Jesus has one last thing he wants to say to you. What does he say to you? When you're ready, I invite you to slowly open your eyes and come back to this place and this moment. How was that for you? How many found it really hard to get into the story? In the last two places, some people have found it like bogged down in the details. What did you receive? What did you hear? What did you feel? How was that experience? Anybody want to share? Peace? Peace, yeah, I've heard that. Love. Embraced by love. Encouragement. Yep. Somebody at DeWinton said, I felt the words, everything will turn out okay. Sorry? Sharing. The sharing. Yes. Anybody else want to share what they received or felt or experienced through that? Being present. It's a great exercise for just being really present. Yeah. Light. Yes, light. This is a great way to build a relationship with Jesus because you can spend time with him, like almost literally, in this experience. This story itself is not a story about facts. We should remember that most of the stories in Scripture, there's not literally 5,000 people there. Mark, who is the first writer of Scripture, probably wrote it as a parable, not as a story of facts. So we don't need to get bogged down in the biblical stories as if they are, there is literally green grass and this is happening and there are 5,000 people and they gathered in groups of 50 and 100. It's a parable, and it's a parable of God's abundance. That with this many people, God still provides for this many people, and it was probably actually written for communion. It was probably a parable written for communion just to remind us of God's bounty, of God's abundance, that even when God can give this much to all these people, there's still leftovers. That God is generous and gracious and good. Sorry? Every time you read that story, say, or start the story with, this is a parable, right? Because what people do with Scripture is get bogged down in the details. Could he really have spoken to 5,000 people without, you know, a sound system? Was there really green grass in that area? Was there a hill that everybody could see, you know? Yes. Can you multiply 5 small loaves and 2 small fish into this much? That's not the point of the story. When you get into it, you kind of go, oh, God is good. There is abundance for everyone who shows up. That's lost when we don't understand Scripture. What I say to you often is the Bible is not fact. It is truth. And there's a big difference. It's not fact. It's truth. If we understand it. A few weeks ago, I was having a visit with a clergy friend, and she said something that has stuck with me. Many people in congregations these days, in communities of faith and boards and so on, say they're frustrated when people only come at Christmas and Easter. And she would say to anybody who had that complaint, if they only come a couple times a year, then feed them. Feed them. Why not feed them? Because that's what we do. On that hill by the Sea of Galilee, which again is not a sea because it's not salt water, it's a lake. But we get even, you know, bogged down in that. Jesus' response to those who were hungry that day was to feed everybody. Feed everybody. He didn't know why they had shown up that day. Nor do we know why people show up on Christmas and Easter. Some of them he'd probably only see once in his ministry because he didn't know what drew them there or what they'd take from it. all he knew was that they needed to be fed. So he fed them. In God's kingdom, everybody gets fed, literally and spiritually. No judgment, no condemnation, no shame, just generosity and acceptance. We don't know people's hearts. Only God knows that. In the church that bears Jesus' name, we feed everybody. As we take this moment to gather our thoughts and feelings, we remember that when we come to this table, we are all fed. Everyone. No matter how we show up or how we feel or what our motives are on this particular day, the table is laid for everyone. There are no exceptions. So let's take just this moment to prepare our hearts for the food that Christ offers.